There was a big question. I believe there still is a question. It's still debated. Could a woman be a disciple of Christ? Still big question. And somehow, if you just read the Bible itself, the female leadership kind of vanishes. You see a few names in Gospel, but then afterwards, somehow, you don't see much female leadership. And this lady, Mary Magdalene, kind of stands out, really tall. All four Gospels had to mention her name. At the cross, at the burial, and at the resurrection, her name's mentioned. And also, when a group of women, female, are mentioned, her name comes first. As you may know, there's a custom that the first one is mentioned is kind of the leader in the group. Like when the disciples are mentioned, Peter comes first. And her name only appears another place in Luke 8. It's like this. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out. That's it. But this is more, to me, quite interesting. Only one line, but many other who provided for them out of their resources. Now, let's think this story in the context. Jesus, in the ministry, had 12 plus disciples. We could easily guess a gang of people, maybe 30 to 40, traveling all over the Galilee. Who is feeding them? Somebody has to feed them. And we all know that his disciples left their work to follow Jesus. And the one line in Gospel, almost whole Gospel, says, the female, the woman who followed Jesus, provided for them out of their resources. And yet, Bible, Gospel itself, don't really talk much about them. So, why? Well, that's a question to you. That's my first thought. Well, in the beginning, the talk I was going to give today was titled as Three Women and Peter. I was going to talk about the three ladies and their relations to Peter, and also the significance of somehow, if you read the resurrection stories, it's always that the female woman comes to the tomb first and found that tomb's empty. Then out of four Gospels, two says that Peter came to check it out. And he is amazed. Today is Easter, and one of the questions, you know probably me by that now, a lot of you. I ask a lot of questions, I don't give you answers. I'm sure you're fully capable of finding those answers. So, why are you here? That's my question. What made you to be here? My assumption is that you're all Christians. And my assumption is that something in you compelled you to come here today, somehow. Something in you told you that I need to go to church today. You may not even know the reason. I may not know the reason either. But that something could be the small little voice of God wants to connect to you. The whole Bible story some kind of goes in a way that God always wants to connect. People always want to run away until they get in trouble. And they call God. They get help, they're happy, then they start running away. It's kind of love story in a way, one-sided. I mean, if you take all those horror stories out of all the Old Testament, if you just see the line, the pure line, the relationship between humans and God, most likely that's what you see. God's always chasing after humans. Humans always running away from God. And again, until they get in trouble. And they're in trouble, who they call? God, help me. If God doesn't help, they cry even louder. And that's what happened in Egypt with Moses. Passover. Passover was nothing but giving people life over death. From slavery into freedom. That was Passover. That's why the original name of Easter was Pascha, meaning Passover. Somehow, when it was in the English, world was getting more power into it, it became Easter. Probably, there's debate, probably related to the goddess of dawn. Her name is Istra or Astara. She was actually honored in April, and they had festival in honor of her in April in Germany, an actually Anglo-Saxon world. And that was replaced by the Resurrection Festival. But somehow name became Easter instead of Pascha. So if you know Spanish, Italian, the Easter all spells with P, not E, because it all came from that Passover. Why Passover? Okay, Easter is what? It's life over death. It's love of God giving freedom to the people who are in slavery. In the old story, Exodus is actual slavery. In case of Jesus, it's a spiritual slavery. Whoever sins becomes slave of sin. The truth shall free you. So, having all that, why Mary Magdalene? She caught my attention really, really strong this year. And if you really think about how females are represented in the whole Bible, you may think actually it's the power of the male that whole Bible is running. But if you really read it, there's a lot of female. Very strong, very in leadership. And Mary Magdalene could have been a very close friend, and according to some stories, she may be a partner to Jesus. And there is another story saying she was actually wife of Jesus. I think last year you heard that there was a scandal about there's gospel of Jesus' wife, which was kind of turned out to be not really authentic. But the problem, we have two problems reading in the gospel, is that, one, it is male-oriented. All the authors are male. In the world when men were dominating. I think I can say clearly because I'm a man. I'm not really citing woman because I'm a woman. I don't have any problem with being a man. I don't think man is bad. That's another bad way of putting genders. I believe all genders are blessed by God. We all have our uses and gifts to create this world a perfect place. That's why God created us male and female. But in the Bible story, somehow females are left out. So to find them, you need to actually focus into them. Now, this is the time that Jesus got caught. And according to all four Gospels, even there's a Gospel of Thomas, if you know, which is nowadays honored as fifth Gospel by a lot of people. All of them saying the disciples basically scattered or deserted Jesus. Only Peter followed him even to the court, yet ending up denying three times. And at the cross, who was there? According to John was there, but no other disciples. How about at the burial? No disciple shows on burial. And if you read the story carefully, she's not expecting to see the resurrection. She's still mourning. She's still crying. And she felt that the body of Jesus was buried somewhat inappropriately because they were rushing it. You know, that was the evening coming, and Passover was next day. You have to bury the body before sunset. Otherwise, it will be much bigger problem. But they just buried him without proper burial. So she was preparing all the spices and myrrh and everything, probably mourning all two evenings, thinking about Jesus. And she brought that to the tomb, yet without bringing any heavy man to roll the stone away. You know that the tomb was sealed by huge stone. And she was worrying about that. But somehow she came. She came to the tomb, bringing all that. Maybe believing in God that something may happen. But she was not expecting resurrection. Now, if you read other gospels, she's the first one who talked to Jesus after the resurrection. So how could you say that she's not important if she's at the cross, at the burial, and she's the first woman or first person who discovered the resurrection of Christ? Yet, you don't hear about her at all afterward. She simply disappears. So, amazing event, Easter. Jesus is showing his disciples that life prevails. Power of love indeed is amazing. It could overcome all the evil, all the challenges. And even his last commandment, the Maundy Thursday, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. He gave that as a commandment. You have to have love in you, then people will see you as his disciples. So having love was the commandment. And what happened to the disciples? What this shows to me is this. When we process a lot of things, like if you go to any bookstore, these days one of the biggest sections is self-improvement or spiritual guidance. With that many books, and a lot of them bestsellers, and that many people reading them, why is our community not changing? Because we're not taking them to heart. We're just reading them. This woman, female, represents affection. Affection for truth. If you have a true affection, true love for truth, you'll not only read it, you'll understand it, and you'll live it. And the living, and the actions, your knowledge, your intention, your love will be complete, creating joy and happiness and delight, but more importantly, fulfillment in your heart. So, this lady showed up, had to be a female, had to be a woman who discovered the resurrection. Resurrection of Jesus is not just about a guy who's dead and came back to life. If you study about it, you get to hear a lot about it. It's not really rarest stories. Somebody died, came back to life. In Korea, long time ago, I saw that people are not buried until like 3 or 5 days after their death. And one day I was asking my grandma about it, and she was saying, well, because there has been occasions that they came back to life. So there, it became tradition that we wait at least 3 days or 5 days. So they have actually the dead in the room, in the house. Yes, they designated a room and they put the dead in there. In the, of course, in, you know, but it's there. And sometimes we can even smell. But they don't bury because there has been occasions that people came back. This story is something that's designed, pre-designed intentionally by your creator. From the beginning, from the very beginning, somehow it's designed to show that. That's why it's powerful. It carries essential message to all of us. So if you believe in the power of love, well, you'll love Easter. If you believe in the power of good, you'll love Easter. And more importantly, if you believe in heaven and life continues, your spiritual beings, Easter is your message. Easter is your proof. This amazing day, what would you take back to your home? I have said a few things, but again, that's knowledge. My brain to your brain, my heart to your heart. But what would you take to your home? Have love in your heart. Do something about it. If your love tells you to do something about it, do it. Why would you want to think about it? Why would you need to measure about it? Why would you need to find the perfect time about it? If you know this is truly love that is burning in your heart, you probably know either this is selfish or not. And if it's selfish one, well, you have to say, shh, that's not the one that you want to listen. But you know the good ones. You do know. If that good love is telling you to do something, to your family, friends, neighbors, better to do it. That's the power of Easter. When you overcome that, truly live the love and good, the risen Lord will come to your heart. I will dwell with you and have diamonds. Just like in Revelation. So may God bless you all in the love that you are receiving and you're about to do.